Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good evening, Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Sunday night, October the 21st. This is the post-game wrap-up show after a miserable game today by the Miami Dolphins as they lost to the Detroit Lions 32-21. I'm usually joined by Tom Ernesty on the post-game wrap-up show. He's at a wedding tonight, so he's unable to join me, so I'll be doing this show solo. And honestly, this game today was absolutely disgusting by the Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins' effort on defense was just, you know, as bad as I've seen probably in the past, I don't even know how many years, but in a long while. Let's just say a long while. Overall, a terrible performance by Matt Burke and his crew on defense. Offensively, look, it's tough to knock the quarterback here. Osweiler, you know, for being a backup quarterback, he played a heck of a game, I thought, and can't really knock him for this loss. 22 for 31, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles. You know, he played well. The problem is the Miami Dolphins could not stop anybody on defense. Before we get into the breakdown of the game, a couple things. One, the Devontae Parker story, which is the big story coming out of today, unfortunately, not the game. I'll get to at the end of the podcast because I'm sick of talking about this guy. And now his agent is sitting here chiming in, making an ass out of himself, making an ass out of his client. I've told you now for going on 2 years, Devontae Parker's a clown. And today, his agent has pretty much shown that. We'll get to that at the end of the podcast, though. Before we get to that, let's get through some of these injuries. Early in the game, Albert Wilson went down. It does not sound good. And his agent, he confirmed that it is a hip injury, not a knee. But it sounds like he's going to be out for some time. I don't want to say he'll be out for the rest of the year because we don't know yet. But he's going to miss some games. And he could miss the rest of the year. We just don't know. We should have more information on that probably sometime tomorrow on Monday, maybe Tuesday, but hopefully we'll know by tomorrow. But it doesn't look good or sound good for Albert Wilson, which is a shame because he is having a tremendous season. Kenny Stills got banged up at the end of that game. Again, unsure what's going on there. Hopefully we'll have more information tomorrow. It just looks like, you know, Stills today had a tremendous game, but I think he was just beaten up over the course of the game. Hopefully it's not too serious, but he did have to leave the field there at the end of the game. We'll have more on that probably tomorrow as well. Linebacker Jerome Baker, he hurt his knee at later in the game as well, but he should be okay from the post-game press conferences and stuff when he was speaking to the media. Doesn't sound serious. He should be good to go by Thursday. Ted Larson's another one, just unsure at this point. He had to leave the game, and he was replaced by Wesley Johnson in the fourth quarter, I believe. Or no, in the third quarter, I think, actually. Unsure there. We should have more news on him. So the Miami Dolphins still have no luck when it comes to injuries. Absolutely no luck at all. They get a few guys back today, like Bobby McCain, like Wake. But then on the flip side, they lose Wilson, they lose Stills, and Ted Larson. That's just one of those things where the Miami Dolphins just cannot stay healthy, and it seems like somebody's always injured. So let's just break down the game, and let's run through this. Like I said, the final score was Lions 32, Miami 21. To open up the game, Miami got the ball first, 3 and out and a punt. Lions then take control. They go on a 6-play, 64-yard drive, which ends in a Matthew Stafford touchdown to tight end Michael Roberts. That was his first touchdown of the day, and we heard his name a lot more. Lions jump out to a 7-0 lead. Then it goes Miami, 6 plays and punt. Lions, they have a 3 and out, probably the only time they punted all day. I actually think it was. Yes, it was. Then the Miami Dolphins, 4 plays and punt. So the Miami Dolphins offense, once again, like it has been pretty much the entire time under Adam Gase, comes out of the gate with a slow start on offense. Their first three possessions are punt, 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 with, you know, only two first downs. They just do, I mean, I don't know what it is with Adam Gase. His team just starts slow on offense. And for a head coach who has, quote-unquote, made his name on offense, that's not a good sign. And that's something that has to be fixed, something that has to change. And it would be easy if this was a one-off circumstance. Say, well, they got a backup quarterback in there. You can't take it. This happens when he has Tannehill. This happened when he had Jay Cutler. This happened when he had Matt Moore. Just his entire time in Miami, the offense starts slow out of the gate. So, you know, just one of them things. After that, the Lions go on a six-play, 85-yard drive. That ends in a 29-yard field goal. They jump out to a 10-0 lead. After that, the Miami Dolphins probably have one of their best drives of the day. 11 plays, 77 yards, 5 minutes, 1 second, which ended in a beautiful Brock Osweiler 5-yard touchdown in the back of the end zone to Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills ran over that poor stadium worker there. From all the reports after the game, she does appear okay. So there, the Miami Dolphins, you know, they inched it close, 10-7. And after that, though, it didn't take long. The Lions go on a 12-play drive, 75 yards, where the Miami Dolphins could not stop anything or anyone on the Lions offense, which ends in a LeGarrette Blount untouched 2-yard touchdown. Now, you're at the 2-yard line, and you run in the end zone untouched. That's an issue. So the Lions then go up 17-7 at the half, and they were able to pull the double dip because they got the ball first at the start of the third quarter, which they go on another 12-play drive, another long drive where the Dolphins could not get off the field. 12-play, 65 yards. They only got a field goal, but they go up 20-7. And at this point, they were in total control of the game. Now, the Miami Dolphins, they actually had a quick strike here, mainly in part, 5-play, 75-yard drive in only a minute 26, because Kenyon Drake broke off a long 54-yard touchdown run, which pulled Miami close to 20-14. Unfortunately, that was the closest they got the rest of the way because, as I said, the Dolphins' defense in this game was absolutely miserable. They could not stop anybody at all. Anybody at all. And the Lions answered quickly, a 6-play, 75-yard drive, which took less than 4 minutes, which ended in a Matthew Stafford 4-yard touchdown pass to who? Michael Roberts. He catches the second of the day. The Lions then, for some reason, go for two, which made little sense, but it really didn't matter at the end of the day. And they're up 26-14. Miami Dolphins then have a 7-play drive, which ends in a punt. The Lions get the ball back, and they kick a field goal, so it's 29-14. And then the Dolphins have another nice drive here. 10 plays, 75 yards, 4 minutes, which ended in a beautiful touchdown pass from Brock Osweiler to Danny Amendola, his first touchdown reception as a member of the Miami Dolphins. A nice drive here by Osweiler. Again, Osweiler was not the issue today. And we can talk about him more later on in the podcast. But the quarterback play for the Miami Dolphins today was good. Or was good enough, let's just say. And it wasn't much of a drop-off from Ryan Tannehill. So the Dolphins score a touchdown here. Brings them within 8, 29-21. Then the Lions, they get the ball back. Lo and behold, 8-play drive, 44 yards, ends in a field goal. They go up 32-21. Dolphins do get the ball back. They drive down the field, get in field goal range because they're down 11. So if you kick the field goal, you're still within 8, which is a one-score game. And they missed the field goal. Jason Sanders misses a 46-yard field goal. And that was it. The Lions win 32-21. And, you know, like I said, it was really all about the defense. Looking at the stats here, total plays were pretty much even. Lions ran 58, Miami ran 54. Total yards was not even. The Lions had 457 total yards to only 322. Excuse me, to only 322 for the Dolphins. Passing yards were pretty much even. Lions only 209. The Miami Dolphins 215, but the rushing yards is where the story was told. Miami ran for 100. Excuse me, my voice is going out of me. The Miami Dolphins ran for 107 yards. 54 of those came on one play with Drake. the Lions ran for a whopping 248 yards, 7 yards per run. That is just astonishing. Penalties, Miami only had 4 for 50 yards. That's good. In time of possession, the Lions held the ball 7 more minutes than the Dolphins. All in all, the story of this game was how the Miami Dolphins could not get off the field and stop this Lions offense. And as I spoke about all week leading up to this game, the Lions are a type of team that will always give the Miami Dolphins fits, much like the New England Patriots are. Because the Patriots, they have a smart quarterback, and they have multiple weapons at wide receiver, and they can spread Miami out. And when they spread Miami out, then they're able to get less guys in the box and still be able to run the ball. And that's how you sort of beat Miami. The other thing Miami right now is struggling with is at defensive end, they do not have guys who can set the edge. William Hayes was a big part of that. Obviously, he's not coming back this year. The weakest part of the game for Cam Wake, especially at his age, is setting the edge and playing the running game. That was exposed big time today. Cam Wake was on the field too much. Cam Wake cannot stop the run at this point in his career. But because Miami is so thin at defensive end, he has to be on the field more. Jonathan Woodard is very good at setting the edge. He was unavailable today. He was inactive. Robert Quinn, he struggled today setting the edge. So with Quinn and Wake on the field more than they should be, the Miami Dolphins could not stop the run. And that's where the Lions are running the ball, to the outside. Their runs really weren't up the middle. It was running towards guys like Quinn and Wake, and they were unable to set the edge. And the Miami Dolphins were unable to stop this Lions running attack. And the Lions aren't known to have for having a strong running game, but their rookie running back Johnson, 19 carries, 158 yards. He averaged 8.3 yards a carry, and he looked like Jim Brown out there today, folks, because the Miami Dolphins had no answer for this Lions running game at all. The Miami Dolphins linebackers today, too, really struggled as well. And, you know, the past few weeks, probably the Cincinnati game, the Chicago game, for the most part, we've seen improvement from the Miami Dolphins linebackers. They're young, so it is what it is. We're going to see them, you know, still have growing pains at times. Today was one of those days where we saw growing pains. Raekwon McMillan did not have a great game. Jerome Baker did not have a great game today. They struggled, but it is what it is. And that's not something that really upsets me because it's something I expect this year with essentially two rookie linebackers being on the field so much. Something we're going to have to accept. Minkah Fitzpatrick also struggled a little bit here, trying to cover some people. Again, he's a rookie, and we all love Minkah. Nobody's knocking Minkah. Minkah is going to be a tremendous player for the Miami Dolphins for many years, but today wasn't his best game as a member of the Dolphins. Overall, the Miami Dolphins offense, I will say this about the offense. Considering wide receivers are dropping like flies every 5 minutes, I give them a lot of credit. They hung in there. They didn't turn the ball over. They were efficient, and they made plays, and they made enough plays, okay, for what they have out there. Being down a couple starters on the offensive line and then losing Larson at some point, being out there with Brock Osweiler, you know, they made enough plays. This game was really it was all on the defense. That was just a pathetic performance. But talking about the quarterback, let's talk about Brock Osweiler here real quick. Like I said, 22 for 31, 239, 2 touchdowns. He took 4 sacks. Most of those sacks were on the offensive line as he was getting hit immediately. So I can't knock Brock for holding on to the ball too long. But if Brock Osweiler, and this is a typical, this is what, when you hear the phrase a game manager quarterback, this type of performance is a performance of a game manager quarterback. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Took a few sacks, didn't turn it over, you know, 239 yards, you know, in that 250 range. That's a game manager performance. I thought the play calling at times by Adam Gase was abysmal. It really was abysmal. Pretty much through the first quarter, I'd say, he handcuffed Osweiler and wouldn't even let him throw the ball. It was all run, 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 short pass maybe. He would not let Osweiler throw it down the field. when the score dictated that Miami had to throw it down the field, you know, Osweiler did fine. Again, nobody's sitting here claiming Brock Osweiler is a great quarterback. Brock Osweiler should be, you know, here beyond 2018. Nobody's saying that. But I will say this. The Miami Dolphins right now are 4-3. Seven games this year. And out of those seven games, if you rank the two best quarterback games for the Miami Dolphins, it was last week against Chicago and this week against the Lions. His two performances this year, the past 2 weeks, are better than any Ryan Tannehill performance in the five games Tannehill started. And that's just a fact. That's not, you know, if you want to take that, and I know some of the diehard Tannehill supporters who never want to hear a bad word against them, you know, take that and run with it, or take that and spin it and send me the hate mails and the hate tweets, and that's fine. If you're going to do it, I can't stop you. But that's just the reality of it. As I said last week, and a lot of people jumped on me for saying it, today proved me right. The drop-off between Tannehill and Osweiler isn't as significant as one thinks, okay? When you have a drop-off, one, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and he can't play, and the Green Bay Packers have to go to Kaiser, their backup. You know, that's a huge drop-off. That's like jumping off a cliff of the Grand Canyon, okay? It changes everything. It changes everything. That's a huge drop-off. Going from Tannehill, who's a borderline NFL starter these days, to Brock Osweiler, it's a drop-off and not a big drop-off, folks, okay? As I said last week, it's not like we're replacing Joe Montana, okay? It's Ryan Tannehill. It's not like we're replacing Joe Montana. And Osweiler today played well. He played really well. The running backs, Drake had the one big long run. The Lions, you know, they were ready for Frank Gore. Frank Gore, 10 rushes, 29 yards. They were ready for him. Drake broke off the one long run, which is what you want from him. That big play, the home run play, which we saw at the end of last year. Nice to see that, the 54-yard touchdown there. Receiving-wise, it's tough right now. And when Wilson went down on top of Devontae Parker not being active, it left Miami really thin at wide receiver. Kenny Stills only had one catch for 5 yards. It was the touchdown. Wilson, before he got hurt, 3 catches for 32 yards, but they were ready for him. Every time the ball hit his hands, the Lions were swarming him. They had 2-3 guys on him like white on rice, and they were not going to let what happened last week to the Chicago Bears happen to them. So, Albert Wilson, nice day. Again, hopefully this injury isn't season-ending, because he is having a tremendous year. My fingers are crossed for him. He's a great guy. And hopefully here he only misses, you know, a week or two or three maybe. But it doesn't sound good right now with the hip. Hip injuries are tough ones to come back from. But we'll see. Amendola, by far his best game. 6 receptions, 84 yards. And also a tip of the cap to the rookie tight end, Mike Gesicki. 3 catches for 44 yards. He was, you know, a little bit of a factor today with this offense. And if these wide receivers aren't healthy, and if the Parker situation ends this week, which it sounds like it will, he will be a factor moving forward, because the Miami Dolphins are going to need more pass catchers, and Mike Gesicki is someone who can step into that role clearly. Let's talk about the other side of the ball. And, I mean, I can't even single out one person who played well on defense, really, because I thought everyone just played just really, really bad, and they did. Bobby McCain, it was nice to see him back out there. But overall, Matt Burke, I have no clue what Matt Burke was doing. I have no clue at all what Matt Burke was thinking. Matt Burke against Cincinnati was dialing up blitzes left and right. And the Miami Dolphins, you know, they played great in that game against Cincinnati. They lost that game because of Ryan Tannehill, and only Ryan Tannehill. Then last week against the Bears, you know, he had the T.J. McDonald interception in the end zone. Kiko Alonso, he gets a fumble. I mean, they played as well. I mean, the Chicago Bears made their plays, but the Miami Dolphins on defense, for the most part, you know, came up big in a few spots in that game, especially late in the game when it was 21-7, to allow the Miami Dolphins offense to score some points and keep the game close enough to where Miami could make a comeback and eventually win it in overtime. Today, though, the Miami Dolphins defense. They just looked like they weren't into it. They just looked like a team that was disinterested in playing this game and being on the field this Sunday afternoon. And it's a shame because now they have a short week and they have to travel to Houston, a place they've never won. And they're going to play a team that doesn't have a strong offense. But let's see what Miami does on defense. If they don't come out motivated against Houston this week, that's not good. Because that's not good. Because the Houston Texans do not have a very good offense at all. Overall, game balls, I guess. Something I usually do with Tom. Who would I give the game ball to this week? Game ball, I am going to give to Brock Osweiler. Only because, again, he's a backup quarterback. He's someone who, you know, the whole league was just ripping him for the past year and a half. How Houston totally overpaid for him. He gets traded to the Browns, where they wanted him gone so bad, they gave up picks just so the Browns would take him. He goes to the Browns, he gets cut. End of last year, he gets picked up by the Broncos. You know, everyone was so down on him. Today, he had a solid performance. A solid performance. Again, it's Brock Osweiler. Nobody's getting excited about anything here with Osweiler. But he had a solid performance today, and I will give it to him. Play of the game, by far, would be the touchdown pass to Amendola. That was a thing of beauty. The I think it was 24-yard touchdown pass or so to Danny Amendola. Beautiful play there. So, look, I said 2 weeks ago that if the Miami Dolphins, if Tannehill's out for roughly 3 weeks or so, or 4 weeks, if they can go, you know, 2-1 with Osweiler, or 3-2 with Osweiler, you know, it's not the end of the world. This game was a bit of a matchup nightmare for the Miami Dolphins, as the Lions have many offensive weapons that can spread Miami out. Houston does not. So this Thursday night game, even though I hate the road team on Thursday night games, short week, the team that has to travel is always at a huge disadvantage. With that said, this is the type of team Miami should play better against, just because the Houston Texans don't do much on offense. Watson, you know, he's not 100% right now. He can't even fly in a plane, so he might be taking a bus from Jacksonville to Houston. So who knows when he'll even get to Houston. But he's in rough shape. They have one wide receiver that you have to worry about in Hopkins. Fuller is, he's just all right. The running game, Lamar Miller, you know, he's nothing special. Alfred Blue is nothing special. So that's a type of offense where Miami should have some more success. Defensively, now their line is strong. And if Ted Larson can't go, and we're stuck watching guys like Jesse Davis, Travis Swanson, and Wesley Johnson have to try and block J.J. White and Clowney, it could be a long day. I'm not going to lie. That could be a long day. Not that Ted Larson, you know, is great by any means, but he's better than someone like Wesley Johnson. I know that much. So hopefully Larson is okay and he'll be able to play. But that probably will tell the story of that game, is can the Miami Dolphins block the front seven of the Houston Texans? Because I think that will be the key matchup to watch in that game. It's a short week. We're going to have shows all week up until that game because of the short week. But, it's interesting. Houston today went to Jacksonville and won the game. So they're coming off a nice little win there. They are 4-3, same record as the Dolphins. But they're just a team that's not a dynamic team on offense. And that's a team the Miami Dolphins need to see right now. Today, Watson was only 12 for 24 for 139 yards. Lamar Miller did run for 100 yards and 22 carries. But, you know, they're just not a dynamic offensive team. They're not like the Lions. They're the polar opposite of the Lions. So Miami should be in a better matchup with Houston this upcoming week. Playoff-wise, as we sit today on October 21st, I don't think the Miami Dolphins are a playoff team. Number one, you can concede the AFC East to the Patriots. They're going to win the division. Not that that's any shock to anybody who's listening to this show. You look at the wild card, you have Pittsburgh and Baltimore. You have the Chargers and Chiefs. And you can also throw in Cincinnati, who owns a head-to-head against Miami. I just don't see how the Miami Dolphins are going to sneak into a wild card spot. They're 4-3. They don't have their starting quarterback. and they have a litany of injuries right now the size of the San Diego telephone book. And I don't, and so, and some of these guys won't be back. I think someone like Wilson might miss significant time here. They just won't be back, and I just don't know how the Miami Dolphins are going to be able to find the way to win enough games to get to like 10 wins and make a playoffs. Hope I'm wrong, but that's what I see. Let me close out the show talking about Devontae Parker and this guy who I've been warning you about for years. He's a joke. He's a clown. And now his agent, is just, I mean, running his mouth and making his client look bad. And number one, you can't give the agent a free pass here and say, well, that's the agent talking, not Parker. No. Parker's agent is an extension to him. If Parker didn't want his agent to say this stuff, trust me, he wouldn't be saying this stuff, number one. And if Parker wanted to shut his agent up, he would fire the agent right now. And that's not happening. So anything that comes out of the agent's mouth, James Gould, then, you know, it's pretty much, you can take those words as coming out of Devontae Parker's mouth. And this James Gould, he released a statement after the game. I am responding that he is not telling the truth, talking about head coach Adam Gase. I am responding that he is not telling the truth, and his decision was an example of poor management and cost the team the best opportunity to win. He continues attacking the health of my client. Jeez, I wonder why. And that is not acceptable. Parker is not only healthy, but wants to help this team win. And the only real question that should be asked is, how does Coach Gase justify his own incompetence? They averaged 6.1 yards per pass catch Sunday. They needed Parker, who was completely healthy and was in full participation all week and in warm-ups this morning. Something smells in Miami. James Gould, shut the hell up. Your client hasn't played. He has hardly played in years. Okay, that's number one. To sit there and brag that he's healthy now, the guy's never healthy. He hasn't been healthy since the day he was drafted. He gets a hangnail, he misses a game. He's got a sore hamstring, he misses a game. He feels sick, he misses a game. He's never gutted out or toughed out one performance in his life since he's been in Miami. So the fact you're going to sit here and say, hey, he's healthy, why aren't we playing him? I'll tell you why we're not playing him. The same reason he played only four snaps last week. Because when they threw him the ball down the field, he didn't fight to break up the interception and let a member of the Chicago Bears easily intercept the ball. Devontae Parker shows no guts. He shows no hustle. He does nothing right. Period. End of story. And if James Gould, this moron, wants, I understand he gets paid to defend his client, and that's him doing his job. And that's fine. But Devontae Parker wouldn't have helped the Miami Dolphins win today. Unless Devontae Parker could play safety or linebacker or cornerback, the Miami Dolphins weren't winning this game with or without Devontae Parker. And the fact James Gould is bringing up 6.1 yards per pass catch, that wasn't the issue today. Okay, James? So your knowledge of football here is kind of slim because you don't know why Miami lost today if you think it was the offense and how many yards per pass play is why they lost, okay? That's not why they lost. They lost because they couldn't stop the damn Lions once, okay? I think they forced them to punt once, and that was back in the first quarter. So don't sit here and say, if they played Parker, Miami maybe would have won. Miami wasn't going to win today because of Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker can go back home, play his video games all hours in the morning, go stop at McDonald's and get all his fast food for tonight for dinner, get the fast food for the morning for breakfast like he has been the entire time he's been in Miami because he doesn't take his job seriously. He doesn't take his career seriously. He doesn't care about his teammates. He doesn't care about the organization. He's just cashing a check. And that's fine. He's entitled to cash a check. But I think everyone in Miami, including head coach Adam Gase, who if anybody listens to this podcast knows, I'm no big Adam Gase lover. I rip him, you know, probably more times than not. But Adam Gase is right on this, that having Parker be a healthy scratch, I have no problem with. Because you don't need him. We've proven we don't need him. We won four games essentially without him this year. So why do we need him? Okay? Why do we need him? Number one. Number two, I think there's probably more to this story as it has been reported over the past, you know, week or so, that the Miami Dolphins are open to trading Parker. Even though they're not putting him out there on the block, They're just taking fault. Look, they're trying to trade him, period. They can say what they want. They're trying to trade him. Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald today said that the Philadelphia Eagles are showing interest. And honestly, probably the main reason Parker didn't play is because they can't risk him playing and then getting hurt in the game. Because, let's be honest, the guy's always hurt. If you put him out there for even five plays, odds are at some point he'll come limping off the field. And if he's hurt, then it makes him almost impossible to trade. And the Miami Dolphins want Parker gone. And when your agent, and like I said, when the agent talks, that's an extension of the player. Okay? If Parker doesn't agree with this, then he would have fired his agent by now. And I am recording this at 9:21 on Sunday night. He would have already fired his agent. The fact he hasn't fired his agent lets you know he stands by this. So when the agent and the player call the head coach incompetent, you're never going to play again for that coach, okay? Devontae Parker has played his last game as a member of the Dolphins. I don't care how many wide receivers are hurt. If you told me right now Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills aren't playing Thursday, that doesn't mean you suit up Parker and play him. You go to the practice squad, you call up a couple guys, you have Amendola, you have Grant start, and you call up a couple guys from the practice squad. Just because they might not have a couple wide receivers now because of injury doesn't mean you just play Parker. It doesn't, okay? Parker has proven himself with his agent's remarks here and with his lack of production on the field to be an utter failure on every level. And I've been telling you this for over 2 years now. Some of you still don't get it. This guy doesn't care. He doesn't care. It's all about him. After today's loss, he made it about him. And why wasn't I active? And what about me? Me, me. The guy's never healthy. Now he's upset that he's not playing? Give me a break. You got to be kidding me. Then, let's talk about his age. He had some more comments when he spoke to the Miami Herald after the game. That was the last thing I read was his statement he released. Then this guy had more of this, James Gould. I'm sick to my stomach. Think how Dolphins fans feel. I'm sick to my stomach. I'm tired of watching Coach Gase make these decisions. This was the third game that Devontae should have played, and he didn't. Coach Gase should have made himself inactive. Okay, now you sound like a five-year-old. He's taking advantage of a great young man and a terrifically gifted football player with God-given talent and made him the scapegoat. First off, nobody made him the scapegoat because in the eyes of many, I would say, media people who cover the team and fans of the Miami Dolphins, Devontae Parker's not in the mind of anybody, okay? He is such an afterthought at this point. The guy is a first-round bust who's done nothing in the NFL. Absolutely nothing. And now this guy, I mean, he sounds like this agent should be embarrassed, Jamie Gould. You know, Coach Gase should have made himself inactive. What are we, 3 years old? Come on, seriously, what are we, 3 years old? You should be inactive. Shut the hell up. This Devontae Parker should not be on the team by Wednesday morning. I don't care if the Miami Dolphins get nothing in return. Try to trade him. Take the first offer you get. If not, just let him go. Because it's stuff like this. Why the Miami Dolphins have been bad for the past, whatever, 15, 16, 17 years. Because of the circus atmosphere. Whether it's Ricky Williams leaving the team to go smoke pot. Whether it's Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, and all that nonsense. Or stuff like this. The circus atmosphere always seems to be in Miami. And it just does. And that's teams with that type of nonsense can't win. And I hope Adam Gase just, you know, you can question should they have moved on from guys like Jay Ajayi or Mike Pouncey or Jarvis Lee. You can question that. Devontae Parker you can't question. Because those guys at least produced something on the field. And they helped win games. Devontae Parker has never helped the Miami Dolphins win a game. Okay, maybe one in what? 4 years, maybe one. And that's even a stretch. He's got to go. He's just got to go. And this will be the only thing talked about in Miami all week on a short week with the game. It's going to be a distraction. And I know some people said, well, this Albert Wilson injury and him out for however long he's going to be out. Now we have to keep Parker and play him. No. One has nothing to do with the other. Okay? One has nothing to do with the other. Just because Albert Wilson's hurt doesn't mean we just throw Devontae Parker out there. Because Devontae Parker's out of Miami, folks, okay? Whether he's out this week or whether he's out at the end of the year. And he's gone. Okay, and if you're the Miami Dolphins right now at 4-3, an uphill climb to make the playoffs, you have to play your backup quarterback, you've got a litany of injuries, you have to be realistic in that. We're probably not going to make the playoffs. Even if we did, we probably ain't going to go anywhere. So you might as well move on from Parker. If a team out there wants to give us a fifth or a fourth or a sixth, whatever, you take it and you hope that pick you can find a player in next year's draft to help you win games moving forward. The one thing you don't do is because Albert Wilson's now hurt and who knows what's going on with Kenny Stills. Well, we must play Parker. No, no. One has nothing to do with the other. We have guys on the practice squad more than capable who can step in for a week or two or however long and hold down the fort. Devontae Parker has played his last down as a member of the Dolphins. I would be stunned if he's on the team come Tuesday or Wednesday. This guy needs to go and go fast because he ain't nothing but a cancer and he has given the Miami Dolphins nothing. Nothing. Since he was taken in round one of the 2015 NFL draft. But that's the big story coming out today. Yes, the Miami Dolphins lost. Yes, they couldn't stop the Lions. But Devontae Parker, post-game, him and his agent stole the show by making it all about him. Because that's what today was about. All about Devontae Parker. So this is a little bit shorter of a post-game wrap-up show since I'm flying solo. Like I said, Tom's at a wedding. We will have shows every day this week. I'm working on a few guests. But it's a short week. We got the Houston Texans on Thursday. Hopefully the Miami Dolphins can rebound and get a win. Houston, they're coming off a nice little road win here against Jacksonville. But I think Miami and Houston are pretty much two evenly matched teams. And this game will come down to can the Dolphins block J.J. Watt, Clowney, and that group. We'll see. So everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. I would like to thank everyone once again for listening, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.